featuring Dr. Michael Ventris and meteorologist Sean Pratt and your host, Colin Golzinski.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Fantasy Football Weather Guys here live with Week 6 Impacts. We got the full crew today. I'm excited about that. I want to introduce everyone.
Oh, yeah.
I'm the host, Colin Golzinski. I'll go to my, I don't know how I'm doing this. I'll go left. Dr. Michael Ventris. Below him is meteorologist Sean Bratton. And then to Sean's right is the newest member this year, Dr. Nicholas Schiraldi. I'm just going to say hi and you guys all talk. Hi, everyone.
Hey.
Hey, guys. It's good to have the whole crew here for our week 6 kicking it off.
This is the second time we've done this, or is this the first time we've had everyone
first
on?
Time everyone's been on together.
I think it's the first time. We've had everyone here at one time.
We did a welcome video in the summer introducing Nick. But,
yeah. Okay.
But in season, our first one. Yeah, true.
This might be the first time we did Twitch together. So, awesome.
Definitely.
Okay, so for today, we got a lot on our agenda. We're going to try to get through it. First, I just have to say, guys, you know, I appreciate the effort of you trying to play in the league of record, but, you know, it's lonely on the top, but I understand that there's a reason why the air is thin and the mountains are high, so you don't stay up there long, but I'm 5-0.
Wow, is it me, or does Colin turn into a robot?
Yeah. Colin, what's going on with your voice over there, buddy?
Oh, oh, man.
You sound like a robot.
You sound like a robot. That's a new filter on Skype, by the way, robot voice.
Oh, I didn't know that we had that available. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Colin's demoing it for us tonight.
Yeah.
Yes. That's okay. We're going to roll with it.
Yep. We'll do the robotic voice here, and we'll move on to the show.
What Colin was mentioning is he is 5-0 in our league of record. He has taken the league by storm, crushing everybody in his path. I ended up playing Mike last week, just got past, and we both had some pretty high scores. We both had a little bit of a rough start to the year, but Mike scored a lot of points. I did. I just scored a few more, but came out with a win.
Yeah, I've been having essentially, I think two people have scored their most points out of the season against me. And just going to say that all the fantasy football weather guys have defeated me. I've been clean swept out of our league here. I'm struggling, guys. It's been a tough start, but...
Yeah.
Welcome back to our stream. The fourth guy is Dr. Nicholas Schiraldi. I think you know him from SUNY Aberdeen, Ben's brother, Nick. So.
So Nick's our other buddy. All the meteorologists here are University at Albany alums. So we got all of our on-staff meteorologists here today to help kind of bring you the impacts for weather today.
I'm not a meteorologist, but I am from SUNY Aberdeen. Even though I appreciate all of your work.
Yeah.
So, league record, you know. Are you guys laughing at my voice still? I think everyone thinks my voice is fine.
Yeah, man, you're going in and out.
Yeah, you sound awful.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah, dude.
It's pretty bad, but I don't know how it is in the stream.
Yeah, man, I don't know if we can't hear you.
Okay, so.
All right.
Why don't we move into the show here, guys? I'll step in for Colin here because I think he's having some technical difficulties on his end here. We're going to get in with a recap of a show that me and Sean did last week. Or actually, this past week. It was actually yesterday. Man, time just keeps going by. We did a podcast with the Carolina Weather Group. And this is a group of meteorologists that have a great show. They bring on a ton of great guests, guys from Jim Cantore, to the fantasy football weather guys. I mean, just in the same league there. But, you know, we talked a lot about how weather impacts a specific sport here and how that translates to impacts in fantasy football. So that show will be airing next week, I believe, next Wednesday, Sean?
Next Wednesday, yeah. Shout out to Scotty and his group at the Carolina Weather Group. We really do appreciate them having us on. It was really cool to kind of discuss our product with other people, other fellow meteorologists. So it's a really good show. Again, like Mike mentioned, that's going to be available for everybody to watch this next Wednesday coming up. So please tune in and watch that because they did a great job having us on.
Yeah, it was a good time. We all enjoyed it there. So. We hopefully may have those guys come on here one time just kind of to shoot the breeze about fantasy football. It seems Scotty was into it a bit. So hopefully hopefully their followers will tune in time to time when the weathers are hitting and get to know us a bit better. So let's start off with the upcoming week here and talk about essentially Atlanta Falcons. Their facility has been shut down. So they are playing the Minnesota Vikings. We're not sure yet if this game is going to actually play or not. So this is something that we're paying attention to because obviously it's going to impact a lot of people's lineups, especially people playing. If you spent a lot of money on Madison, right?
Alexander Madison. Yep.
Alexander Madison. You put a lot of money down on him. With Dalvin Cook's injury not as bad, you may have wasted some money there in your pick, especially if this game gets canceled or postponed is probably a better way of saying it because of COVID. So that's something that we are paying into. Hey, Colin, I'm going to ask you, has your voice gotten any better here? No. Okay.
No. All right. Okay.
We'll keep going here.
Yeah. Well, with regards to that game right now, we are assuming that game is on until otherwise noted. I think they're doing a wait and see approach. There was, I think, one of the coaches or somebody on the training staff that did get diagnosed with COVID. And the Falcons, so they shut down their facility, but they're still saying game is on. So that's you know how we're gonna approach this until told otherwise.
Okay, all right, Colin, you're still unhearable, my friend. We're so sorry, but it's Mr. Robotic Voice. It's okay. We'll just keep going on, and we'll keep moving through. So let's talk about last week and the weather here. We did have a game that was impactful. The Minnesota Vikings at the Seattle. It was a late Sunday night game, so there was a lot of eyes on it, and it was actually kind of a really boring game to watch for most of the game up until the final drive, it seemed like, where Russell Wilson and DK Metcalf really shined. Sean, you want to break down some of that game there?
Yeah, I mean... That game really did pick up in the second half. It did become exciting. Seattle needed to make a final drive in the fourth quarter to get the win. And it was interesting. The weather started to really pick up in the second half, and it really started to rain. And I don't know how many of you out there were watching, but the announcers did mention on several occasions the influence of the weather. They were mentioning how, you know, they looked like the ball was getting slippery. They were even mentioning the wind and the direction of the wind and how that may be impacting Russell Wilson's throwing. And we actually did see this impact some of either Russell Wilson throwing the ball or one of the receivers, either Tyler Lockett or DK Metcalf, their ability to catch it. There was one actually Russell Wilson had an attempt in the end zone, and I believe it was dropped. I forget it was Tyler Lockett or DK Metcalf, but they couldn't get a firm grip on the ball because it was just so kind of wet. We did actually see some effects due to weather in that game. Now, here's the thing. One other thing we've noticed with weather in football is the good players find a way. And Russell Wilson in that final drive, even though the rain was coming down, he found a way to get it done and get the win for the Seahawks.
One of the best quarterbacks in the league there. He's impressive. Yeah. And I think it really is, it speaks to volumes about how he trusted DK Metcalf on that final drive. I mean, yeah. Tyler Lockett, you know, I'm a Tyler Lockett owner in our ESPN league, Sean. And he was disappointing. You know, he could have had that touchdown catch at the end of the game there, but it seemed like the wet conditions, the ball just slipped through his hand. So, but DK Metcalf really turned
any
it
better,
up,
guys.
And he did. And then also, yes, you are
better. I'm back.
You are. You're back. Oh, back God. In action.
Welcome back.
Welcome
to the show.
Back to the party. Okay, go back on your DJ Metcalf rant, Mike. It was beautiful. You love him.
Well, one other thing I wanted to mention is, Kirk Cousins did have less than 250 yards. He did have a TD and one interception. Russell Wilson actually only threw for, I believe it was like just a little bit over 200 yards. Yeah, he did get the TDs, but his passing yards were down, I think, just due to the weather influences in the second half. So, not a tremendous showing by either quarterback, but they did get the touchdowns when they needed them.
So moving on to this week's weather impact, we're seeing that we have one game. I'm going to bring up our nice little weather impact table on our on our website. So we're showing that the game at Miami with New York Jets playing at Miami, it looks like there's going to be some wind, maybe a slight rain, but we are showing a caution. And one of the meteorologists now, I don't know who, but someone can talk us through it. And I have the wind map up, actually, for game time.
Sean, why don't you take us through it, big guy?
Sure. So what we're going to be looking at on Sunday and as Sunday progresses, we're looking at some convection popping up, starting over southeast Florida, and then that convection will push across the state as the day continues. So we actually have three games in Florida that we are monitoring. We have a game in Tampa, we have a game in Jacksonville, and the one that we're most concerned about and the one that we're really targeting is Miami. Now, we talk about this a lot on the show, but convection is just, it is what it is. It's a real tough thing to forecast. But what we are seeing is models are getting into consensus, meaning all of the models are starting to agree that there looks like some substantial convection over Miami during game time. Now, they have a 4 o'clock kickoff, and that's when convection usually starts building over Florida, usually mid to late afternoon. So there look like there could be some cells that move through the area that can bring isolated heavy amounts of rain. And then surprisingly as well, we were looking in the wind, which Colin has up right now, also looks to be elevated. We're looking at 15 to 20 mile an hour winds. And this is also kind of interesting because on the show yesterday when Mike and I were on, a lot of the questions that they asked us were about, hey, you know, how are winds affecting stadiums in different ways? And we noticed that the Hard Rock Stadium, they have a really interesting structure. It's almost like a covering over the stadium, except for just the field. And so, Nick, you ran some stats on wind over Miami, and what did you see?
Not much of a relationship for quarterback or wide receivers. The distribution's almost exactly the same as any other game. So the wind really doesn't seem to play much of an impact at all in Miami.
So I navigated on our website for the viewers in our weather blog. We always show this nice graphic. I'll call them cue cards. I call them cue cards in my head, but the stadium cards, and you can see what we're talking about with the stadium. It's it's very unique setup that it's open, but not really open to the elements like wind.
Yeah, it's not exposed, really. It's interesting. So, yeah, we were wondering, you know, different stadiums, different constructions, and that's something we're going to be investigating a lot more, doing research on how certain stadiums influence certain weather elements. So the one that we're really interested in is rain, and we do expect isolated pockets of heavy precipitation. Is that going to occur over the three-hour window of the game? We'll have to keep you monitored on that. But if we do get it, some of the things we did notice, Fitzpatrick, is that quite a few games in the rain. We noticed about a 17% reduction in yards per game. So what that translates to is a couple of fantasy points potentially. And Mike, what did you see if that does happen? Where does that drop them?
Yeah. So essentially, if you do a standard half point PPR scoring with for quarterbacks, essentially Ryan Fitzpatrick is currently clocked in around the 12th overall quarterback. A 2 point reduction actually takes him outside of the top 20. So while we're not sure how if this is going to be a heavy rain event or persistent rain, we do know that Ryan Fitzpatrick does struggle. And, you know, if the rain ends up being a problem there on Sunday afternoon, then someone would probably want to stay away from if you have better options and maybe DFS. It's up in the air. We can talk about that a little while here.
True.
But I do want to say, As we break down, you know, this particular event where my New York Jets are playing the Miami Dolphins, it's not raining because of the clouds, Sean, or convective cells. It's raining because of me, because I'm actually producing enough precipitation out of my eyes because of how crappy my team is. And I don't know if anyone heard the news here with regards to Le'Veon Bell.
Oh, please tell us how the Jets have made themselves better. Oh, wait.
Yeah. So what happens here is the New York Jets are just dumping all their really good players and keeping their crappy coach. I mean, that's exactly what's happening. So we've seen this with Adams. We've seen it with Robbie Anderson. And now we're seeing it with Le'Veon Bell. All of our stars, essentially, we're getting rid of them. And we're keeping Adam Gase, which is just mind-boggling. But I don't want to sit here and be on my soap opera all day. The thing I want to say here is Le'Veon Bell. There was some news recently out of the sports world. Just recently, I think tonight.
I can't believe that the Kansas City Chiefs. They're to me, they're the new the Pats. Like previous years, Pats were always picking up everyone that they were dropping, just making their championship teams better. And here you go, the Chiefs now pick up Bell to run with, CEH. Sean, I know you're a big CEH fan. You've always been a CEH fan. Are you worried having?
Yeah.
What does this do? Do you think to his value?
I mean, there's definitely concern there. I mean, that's definitely going to cut into his workload. It has to. I mean, Le'Veon Bell is a good running back. He's going to get the opportunity. They didn't bring him in. Well, I expect him to. I expect him to get. I also expect him more in the passing game. I expect Clyde Edwards-Helaire is really starting to get maybe 3, 4, 5 receptions a game. Is that work now going to go to Le'Veon Bell? I'm a little concerned there. And then I think that the totals for his carry totals may drop a bit as well as a result. I mean, you have to kind of wait and see, right? And in Andy Reid offense, he likes an established running back. But, you got to figure that he's going to cut into the workload.
Hey, Colin, you know when you asked if Le'Veon Bell still has anything left in the juice, mm-hmm. any juice left in the engine?
Please, Mike.
He's getting away from Adam Gase. And we've seen this time in and time out. Any player who gets out of Adam Gase, they become much better, back to their value where they should be.
Yeah, look at Ryan Tannehill now with the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, true.
It's been amazing.
I mean, it's amazing. Also, Tannehill has put up just as good, if not better, numbers than Patrick Mahomes over the last, I think it was 14 games ever since he became starter of Tennessee. It's been absolutely crazy how he's broken out. So who knows? If this continues, Le'Veon Bell is going to break out and be the star back of the Kansas City Chiefs, the way things have gone. I mean, look at Robbie Anderson, star wide receiver for the Panthers.
That I dropped by accident and couldn't get him back on waivers by $2.
What was that?
I had Robbie Anderson. And I think
this year?
Yeah, and then Sean picked him up.
Oh my God, I missed that drop. I am the worst. Too many leagues. I'm getting face football fatigue.
That's a real thing.
Yeah,
I'm actually down to 2 leagues this year. I like it. I'm focusing. They're big money in my mind, and I can put the effort and the attention. But it's funny, Mike. When in our league, I've made, I think, 2 moves or 3 moves so far this year. It's luck. I'm never going to say it's not. You have to have the formula for fantasy. You have to have some research, have some skill, and you have to have the luck of the schedule and the luck of the players to win a league.
And in keeper leagues, you have to have solid running back, so you don't have to worry about, essentially, yes. I've probably made already over 30 moves because I did a zero running back strategy, which is very difficult because essentially you're starting in a hole. So,
yeah, I do
go ahead, John.
Want to go also something about the Miami game. I forgot to mention Gore, who's this kind of ties in as well, since Le'Veon Bell is gone. Gore may be taking over lead roles, I guess. TBD, right? To be determined. But we do notice that with Gore, he doesn't, we do notice an increased workload with him during rainy games. It's about a 24% increase in his attempts. So what he'll do with those attempts, who knows? But I do expect him to get some extra carries if he's the lead back.
What he's going to do is he's going to score. He's playing the Jets. I mean,
well, he is on the Jets. He's playing the Dolphins. Oh. But you do know that Gase loves his Gore. So, I mean, he's going to get the work. I don't know why, but he just has this infatuation with Frank Gore. So, Frank the Tank.
You know, I can only be so perfect. I apologize on my mistake. So, next, we kind of want to shift gears and kind of discuss, like we said last week, we're trying to build in DFS a little bit more into our repertoire of fantasy football weather guys. We'd like to say we're semi-experts in the redraft or yearly leagues, but Mike has posed some questions of some DFS picks that we're going to run through as a group for who you'd want to pick. We're going to start with the quarterbacks, and it's an interesting, there's a good selection here. Some have to do with weather, some have to do with matchups. So the quarterbacks would be Matthew Stafford at $6,300. These are DraftKings prices, too, by the way, that we always use in our discussions. Kirk Cousins at $6,100 and Fitzmagic at $5,900. Stafford's playing Jacksonville. Cousins is playing Atlanta. And we know Fitzmagic is playing the Jets. So
just to mention here, we are assuming that the Atlanta Vikings game still happens, right?
Thanks for the caveat, Mike. Yes, we are.
Yeah. So, okay. When I was going through these lineups here, these guys, these are decisions that I were looking at for my personal preference. You know, when I was setting up my DFS lineup, and I felt like this was a week where I didn't want to essentially pay up for a quarterback. Excuse me. Just really quick, did we lose Sean? Is he off the stream now?
Sean?
Yeah.
Okay, we lost Sean. Well, hopefully he'll join up here, but if not, we'll keep going and we'll finish the show up. So when I was paying attention to this, I was really attracted to Kirk Cousins because of his matchup against Atlanta, who's been going up, giving up the 31st most points to quarterbacks when recording to passes, pass yards per game. But when I looked at Kirk Cousins a little bit closer under the scope, we know that the Minnesota Vikings have been more relying on the running game, right? So I've seen Kirk Cousins. He's been under 300 yards each game this year. It made me a little worried about him. And speaking on Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's going to the Jets. The Jets have been actually the eighth toughest defense against opposing quarterbacks. And Fitzpatrick is very...
On the Jets stat, is it tough? Or is it that they can just have a run game against the Jets so the passing game for quarterbacks isn't needed?
That is exactly what it is, because I don't think this Jets defense is anything special. It comes down to the Jets being such a crappy organization.
Let's make sure we're categorizing the defense
the correct way. Oh, hey, welcome back, Sean.
Sorry, guys. Some internet difficulties here, but I am back. Where were we?
So, we literally haven't done anything yet. So I'm about to make a pick here and talk about...
Mike's been on a three-minute rant about why he think. I think what I got is he's taking Cousins out of the three.
No, you can't take Cousins. Why are you going
to
do that?
You'll have to rewatch the video there. So I'm going to go with here Matt Stafford at 6,300. And I like the matchup against Jacksonville. I know there's some issues possibly with maybe some precipitous rain, but take a look at Stafford's last four games. That he's played. He started off the season a little bit cold, right? 17.2 points in the first two games. And then he went up a little bit, 18.5 in the third game. And then his fourth game of the season up to 23.3. And there was something big there that happened in his last two games. He got Kenny Golladay back. So I think that we're starting to see Stafford begin to open up this offense. And we're starting to see him throw more touchdowns each game. He had one touchdown the first game, two touchdowns the second and third, and then three touchdowns in his fourth game. I think Stafford's the pick here for me.
Then I was wrong. It's Stafford.
Yeah.
So go ahead, Sean. Who do you got? And I'm gonna start.
Well, I want to know because I was going to pick Kirk because it was just too easy of a pick out of the three.
Well, so I'll repeat it here for Sean because I know he has some
time. Quickly, yeah. Recap.
He's got a really nice matchup here against Atlanta. The problem is I just don't – I'm worried about the number of passes that the Vikings offense is going to do here. He's been under 300 yards each game this year, and he hasn't had – he's played against some not-so-great offenses. I think he got under – like 200 yards or he had no touchdowns. I can't remember what the stats were at the run back to that, but against Seattle, who's not a good secondary. So I'm a little worried here. I think there's a little bit more volatility in Kirk Cousins' productivity, and it makes me want to shift towards Stafford, who's been a little bit more consistent and improving a little bit by little bit each week.
Okay.
I'm personally going Kirk Cousins here. He's playing the Atlanta defense, who's given up 335 yards per game. I expect Atlanta to score and score heavy here. They just fired their coach. They're going to want to make a statement. Kirk Cousins is going to have to catch up. He's not going to be handing the ball off to whoever the running back is in this game all game. He's going to have to pass the ball. His QBR in indoor stadiums is 107, much higher than any outdoor stadium. He has 8.2 yards per attempt, which is up by two in outdoor stadiums. And his TD to INT ratio indoors is 3-1. So we do have some volatility with him having only between 22 and 40 passes. You don't know what you're going to get. I think I'm going to hedge on the higher amount here because he's going to have to pass the ball against a fast-paced Atlanta offense. So I'm going Kirk Cousins here for the price.
Funny.
Also against like a completely decimated Atlanta secondary, right? I mean,
exactly.
If he doesn't make his $28 million in this game, I don't know when he's going to make it.
Yeah, I'm taking the third one. Unless, Nick, you want to go. It's up to you.
No, I'm with Sean on the Kirk Cousins train. I mean, this is his game.
I'm going Ryan Fitzpatrick with the $5,900. I know the stat of the ninth, defense. But, there's something about Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's kind of playing for his job, I think, and he's always done well when he has that pressure. You know, he's this journeyman that just kind of finds his way and somehow finds a way to succeed. You know, he has 5 interceptions, 7 touchdowns. You know, we'll see what he can do against the Jets, but out of these three, I would take the risk. I like playing the risk in DFS because that's how you have to win. You got to take the risk for the value. You did put some good values there, though. They're only $300 in, but to make the conversation interesting, and Mike always talks about it in our league, I got to follow my intuition sometimes. Sometimes I can't explain why I do things, but I would take Fitzpatrick out of these three. So running backs.
All right.
We got Kareem Hunt at 6,900 at Pittsburgh. Todd Gurley, 6,300 at Minnesota, and David Montgomery. Who are the Texans playing?
David Montgomery's on the Chicago.
Playing the Carolina Panthers.
Carolina Panthers.
I'm having a hard time with players today. I apologize with our one viewer, Sean. Who was I thinking of? I'm blanking today.
David Johnson's on the Houston Texans.
Sorry, guys.
Sedated. So I'll start us off here, and I'll just say what my pick is. I'm going in with David Montgomery at that 5,800 DraftKings price point. He's going against a Carolina Panthers just horrible rushing defense. They're ranked worst in the league here. I had some struggle with Todd Gurley. He's actually scored 5 touchdowns this year. He's coming off just a monster performance against Carolina where he scored 28 points. I don't think Gurley is as good as what his stats show this year. I think there's something wrong with him. And I think David Montgomery is going to open it up here against Carolina. I think they're going to, especially now that Tariq Cohen's hurt and we're seeing Montgomery get more involved in the passing game. I think he's a safer play with a lower price.
I'm going with Todd Gurley
because
you're wrong. I've had him on my team. I'm happy with his production. I think people wrote him off this year. I think he's going to have a great game against Minnesota. You know, I think you're wrong. You know, they've been...
I was struggling between these two, and I actually sided with Colin here. I did go with Gurley. My concern a little bit with Montgomery, the Carolina defense, their rushing defense isn't great, but I just feel like they've become a little bit more stout, and they've really started to impress on the defensive front. I don't just trust that offense right now. I do expect David Montgomery to get the volume, but his volume numbers, it hasn't made me happy overall. Gurley, I think, is going to get between 15 and 20 touches. You can see him out of the passing game. Minnesota has given up 132 yards on the ground this year. Gurley is TD dependent, but I think they're going to move the ball in a very, fast-paced, heavy offensive game against the Vikings, and I think he's going to get into the end zone here. I think he has a higher likelihood than David Montgomery, at least.
I'm a little surprised you thought Carolina's defensive line is looking better with what just happened last week, where Todd Gurley just like...
Yeah, but I feel like I agree. Yes, true, true. But like I just feel like the defensive front, I guess what I was referring to is the defense as a whole, the team as a whole feels like it's coming together a little bit. So I'm just not as sure about this game with Chicago going in there with Nick Foles. I just, you go in there thinking with Chicago and their offense, you just don't... It just doesn't feel confident, So I'm hedging away from David Montgomery here, but I really was very close at picking him. Went out. He could get the passing work, and he could get the volume. I'm just not there yet.
So I just want to really quickly say,
why did you throw in Kareem Hunt, Mike? He's playing Steelers.
I'm on the Kareem Hunt train here. I think Kareem Hunt's. I don't think you can discount Cleveland's running game at any point this season. Their offensive line has just been paving the way for these guys. I mean, they've been unstoppable. So, his price is a little high, and he didn't practice much today. But if he's starting, I just think the Cleveland Browns are going to steamroll anyway. Yeah, and let's not forget what happened in Pittsburgh last year. This is a statement game for Cleveland and Pittsburgh. It's the first game since the tremendous incident, so it's going to be a ground and pound them. And I'm all Kareem Hunt on this one.
I'm just a little worried. Pittsburgh right now is giving up on average 64 yards per game. I agree. Kareem Hunt is the best back of these three backs. He is the best back of these three right now. I'm just worried about that Pittsburgh defensive front and him just getting stuffed.
Look at last week. The Philadelphia Eagles, the running back, and I'm drawing a blank on his name right now.
Miles Sanders. Miles Sanders. Got the 2 TDs.
He had a 70-yard touchdown, right? I think it was a 70-yard or around there. After that, if you take that one play out, he averaged 0.8 yards per carry. Like, ridiculous. So I just think that the Pittsburgh defensive line is just elite. So I am worried.
We'll see.
I know Nick Chubb's on IR and Hunt's the guy, but but I'm glad you took that for that variance there and put that in there. So I just want to say really quickly on these running backs, there's biases built in here for everyone except for Nick, because Sean's from Chicago. He's biased against Chicago. Colin has Todd Gurley in his league.
Which I played into.
and I put that bias in there. And actually, I'm biased to David Montgomery because I have him in my 14-person league. So I want him to do well. So the only unbiased vision here was Nick. And that's interesting to see how this one plays out.
Well, Mike, I appreciate the thought you put into when you pick these things on for us to discuss. So the last thing we want to talk about is the stack. I'm learning in DFS, if you run an effective stack, that's kind of where you can make the difference in 10 cents or $2 or however you guys win money in these things. So we have the Stafford Galladay stack, Cousins Thielen, I'm feeling the Thielen, and Aaron Rodgers Devontae Adams stack, which is interesting on that one. So I don't know. Mike, you talk first every time. I'm going to go to Sean. Sean, who do you want in this stack?
I mean, I have to be consistent with my QB pick as well. I gotta be going to Kirk Cousins, Adam Thielen. Adam Thielen had 2 TDs. He had 9 receptions, 80 yards, 2 TDs against Seattle. And, you know, they're playing a similarly bad Atlanta defense. So I expect Kirk Cousins to go to his go-to receiver, Adam Thielen, and put up some big numbers again. I'd be taking that stack all day.
Mike?
Yeah, so you know what's interesting about Thielen? He's the number one ranked wide receiver of the year so far. He's been having a tremendous season. So that's why I wanted to put him on there. He deserves it. He deserves to be in there. I honestly went with the Matthew Stafford Galladay stack, and a lot of that had to do with the price of a 12,500.
12,500. Yeah, right. I forgot to read the prices out. Sorry.
Yeah, so the Stafford Galladay stack was 1250. The Cousins deal and stack is 1340. So about $1,000 more. And then Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams is at $1,550. So yeah. It's $3,000 more than the Stafford Galladay. And the reason why I really like the Stafford Galladay, they're up against Jacksonville, and I think we've seen a lot of progress from these guys. They're starting to get into sync this year. And by picking this stack, I was able to get actually Adam Thielen in my lineup as my wideout two and Derrick Henry in as my running back one. So I'm able to get two more elite players because of this stack is a couple $1,000 less than, let's say, that Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams stack. So it was more about how do I construct my lineup this week.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I mean, yeah, you're right. For the price, you're saving some big money there to spend on other players. That's true.
Since you didn't have a Fitzpatrick stack, which is probably correct, I would also go with the Stafford Galladay, and you know, there's some bias there. I finally have him back on my starting lineup, but the price, you can't argue with that price, Mike. I mean, that's such a good point, and which probably means that, you know, I will be setting my DFS roster tonight or tomorrow. And now I get a lot of information to figure out how to do this. So it's great. I appreciate it.
We're here to educate. That's what we're doing.
We are
here for
everyone's education.
There you go. Nick, what do you think here? What do you think, Nick? What stack would you take here?
Oh, he's biased here, though.
That's why I put it in there. Why do you think I put this in there?
I'm severely biased towards the Packers, but I think it's too risky at that price point. Devontae Adams just coming back. A lot of different players have been starting to shine. Tonyan. I don't think Devontae Adams is going to provide the value this week, and I absolutely cannot go for Matthew Stafford under any circumstances, so I'm with Kirk Cousins.
The biases are just oozing.
Yeah.
Hey, for anyone who doesn't know, Nick is actually a part owner of the Green Bay Packers. So
I am a shareholder, yeah.
He's a shareholder.
Which, yeah. You know, I actually don't. I think that's cool. You know, I think Sean in Chicago, if he was a true Chicago fan, would have issue with, but as we can see, he is the other crappy New Jersey team fan of the Giants. There is one true New York team, and that is the Bills. Even though they lost, I still have hope for them this year.
Yeah, when's the last time they won a Super Bowl?
Yeah, what? Well, I can't speak too much.
69 for you, Mike.
It's been a long time. I haven't been alive.
Dreadful Bills during the early to mid-90s who just couldn't win a Super Bowl for the life of them.
So that's a feat in itself.
That's true.
So, great week, guys. Looking forward to it. Remember, Jets Miami. Look us up on Twitter, Facebook, at FF Weather Guys. Our website at ffweatherguys.com. Things will be updated live. As we said, there could be some impacts with the rain and wind if it does form for the game against the Jets Miami. Anything else? I mean, this is always fun. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Loved having all four of us on today. That's great. Maybe this will be a new thing.
Yeah, that was cool.